Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the Autzen Audibles podcast. I'm Matt Prem, Eric Scopel, and Jared Mack both on the podcast as well. We're recording this Tuesday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific time, about an hour after the conclusion of Oregon's official 2021 Media Day. Football is officially... for us, is officially here, and it's pretty exciting.
Matt, we're in the same room, too.
Yes.
I was doing the math on this. It's been a very long time since I've been in the same room doing a podcast with anybody, much less such great guests and friends as we have in this room together today.
Yeah, the listeners can't hear it, but we actually have an Alex Forsyth name tag. So yep. He is here in spirit.
Alex Forsyth. He is here, yeah. I retrieved that from Media Day and brought it back because it felt like a memento.
No idea why.
Honestly, neither do I.
But it's exciting the fact that we actually had in-person stuff. I think speaking with Crystal Ball, speaking with the players that we spoke with, which was about 15 to 20 guys that we personally spoke with, you kind of got the feeling of just a little bit of normalcy, and everyone was excited for that. Like, everything was on Zoom last year, and it was harder to connect with the player or to connect with the coach. And, you know, naturally, they probably didn't want to share as much information because they didn't know who was watching or who was taking the information. And so just getting face-to-face has been awesome. We learned a lot more about this football program. I think, for me at least, the biggest takeaway from Media Day, from speaking with Crystal Ball, is he kind of hinted at this, I think, at Pac-12 Media Day. But this, in his eyes, is going to be the most competitive fall camp he will have had at Oregon in his time here. So he's entering his fourth year as head coach, which is crazy to think about.
And it really is.
It just dawned on me that he's been here for five because he was offensive coordinator for his first year. Crystal Ball has been at Oregon now for 5 years, and this is going to be the most competitive one. Not only, I mean, coaches say that all the time.
We probably have quotes from the last couple camps that are similar.
But I think you can truly get the fact that he genuinely means it, and the players echo it just because of the talent acquisition that they've had the last 3 or 4 years. It's a night and day program from a talent perspective.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the part that you get excited with talking to players, and I'm sure we'll share some of it in the podcast. Certainly some of it will be on the site later on story form, is everyone's just really excited about the guys at their position. Everybody I talked with was basically like, yeah, we could be the best at this position. Our position group could be one of the best in the country. Yeah. Like, almost everybody said that kind of thing. And I only talked to, I think, two or three position groups. It's not like everybody. But that seems to be kind of the consensus in the sense you get from talking to people. And you said, Matt, I think that's because, in part, the way they've recruited. And you stack those classes over the top of each other for 3 or 4 years, 5 years now. And you see what it looks like on the roster. And again, I've said it before, and I'll just reiterate it. I think from top to bottom, this might be the most talented roster Oregon's had.
On paper.
On paper.
Yeah.
Now, we'll have a lot of stuff to prove whether or not that's the case. But, like, I don't feel any different today. And actually probably feel a little bit more optimism even with some of the things that Oregon's players and even what Mario said. I know Mario didn't say anything that, like, jumps off the page. But you could kind of sense the enthusiasm and optimism he has going into fall.
So you're saying, not to cut you off, Jared, but you're saying Oregon won the press conference today.
Yes.
I'm saying it. Yeah. No, I think Oregon secured a victory today. No, I mean, right off the jump, we had Mario just immediately talking about how each position group is incredibly demanding this year and how they're going to have a ton of competition. And honestly, there are, you know, very few people's spots that are safe. There's just going to be 6-7 guys at each position group who are capable of starting and capable of playing meaningful snaps every single game.
I think what stood out to me, speaking with the players about this, is a lot of the and I spoke primarily almost with all veteran guys.
Yeah.
Was they all openly on their own brought up the impact, the talent, and the potential for the younger guys to steal snaps or minutes, if you will, away from them. And one of the players I spoke with said that, like, the young guys are coming in and they're confident. They know they were highly ranked, but that they're not like trotting around like, well, I'm the 5-star guy and you are that low 4-star or that high 3-star and, you know, and I'm going to take your job type of a deal. I'm not going to have to work. He said that Cristobal's ability to not only recruit talented guys on the football field, but then to find guys that are talented, but then also have the humbleness, the maturity to come in and realize, like, yeah, I'm probably the better recruit on paper coming in than you are, you know, pointing to the upperclassman who's starting, but I haven't gone through the rigors of a college football season before, and I need to figure that out before I can reach my full potential. The player was telling me just how cohesive the upperclassmen and the underclassmen are this year, which he said felt a little bit different than previous years.
Maybe the best example, or at least the one that struck me the hardest, was talking with the three true freshman quarterbacks. And all of them to a person were like, Anthony Brown has been awesome to deal with. Yeah. He's helped us a lot. Ty Thompson took a time to talk a little bit about when they're on the field, how he pulls the players aside to like kind of almost be a second coach to point out some things that need to be changed. Like he's taking on like a leadership perspective, which maybe runs counter to what people expect of a quarterback competition, right? You kind of think like these guys are going to be button heads, their egos are big, and even down to, we talked about the upperclassmen, younger guys, but like even the three of the true freshmen that are competing for these jobs like genuinely seem to like each other.
Yeah.
And they all, I even joked, I think it was with Robbie Ashford towards the end, of like, all you guys seem to like each other a lot. Maybe you guys are lying about it. And he's like, oh, no. Like, everyone really, really gets along. Like, and I think that's important. And I think, again, the culture, I think it's just a really good example of what the culture is in place right now, where you have on paper a situation which could be, I think Thompson used the word toxic, in terms of like you could have a bunch of egos, guys not working together, but working against each other to try to get the job. That's not been the case. And I think that, to me, was the thing that was the big storyline for me today. I'm just like, it seems like everybody wants and has the same goals and is willing to work together towards them.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that statement from Eric. I talked to Dante Thorne and Troy Franklin, the talented freshman duo, and they both agreed they get along just fine. They're actually roommates, and they have the same exact goals in mind. They both learn from upperclassmen. They both have just tremendous things to say about Johnny Johnson and the type of person he is and how hardworking he is. But yeah, I think each and every one of these freshmen have somewhat of a mentor on their position group. And
right, that stood out.
They all come in and they all have the same goals and they all want to get to the same level. And although they're all competing against each other, clearly, I think they all don't mind it. I think they come in and, you know, I think either Johnny Johnson or Verone McKinley today mentioned, you know, the iron sharpens iron metaphor. But I think that's exactly what's happening in this program right now.
I think to a T, or just right down the line of every guy that we spoke with, they all basically said some kind of correlation of the culture on this year's team going into fall camp is significantly better than it was the previous year. And they all would say it wasn't like there was a cancerous vibe within the program.
Yeah. Last year was weird, though.
Yeah, but it was just, and that's like the way to describe it, is multiple guys said it was just, there was no brotherhood, there was no connection, because just like all three of us, from a work perspective, we never met in person because of COVID. Yeah. A lot of people worked from home or still are working from home. Kids, you know, remote learning. The team couldn't do their summer off-season programs where they gather and they go to the beach for the day. And then they have a speaker that comes in and speaks to the team. Or they go paintballing like they traditionally do.
Top golf or whatever.
Yeah, like all these fun things. And that's on top of just the normal stuff of training in your weight room groups and stuff like that. George Moore told me it was everything was individualized. Everything was on Zoom unless you had to physically be there present for it. Like he said, weightlifting, you show up, you get your COVID test, you go stand off to the side by yourself, you go into the gym, everyone's socially distanced. There's no one around each other. You really can't communicate with one another. you wait for your turn to get on the machine or whatever you're doing. You finish your workout, you get your food, and you go back home. And you stay in your room. He's like, it was like living in a hotel room on a away trip, but for the entire year. And I think every guy spoke about how important it is to have that bond. That Chris Paul always throws out the word brotherhood with this team.
Everybody threw out the word brotherhood today.
And that's, I think you can clearly see, I think that's the probably the theme that kind of burst out of media days of talking with everybody. And not, you know, you don't bring up, you don't ask the same question and yet the same answer per player comes out, you know, just about how tight-knit this group is. And, you know, I think it was Verone McKinley that said, if you want to win, you have to have a tight group. You have to have a team that's connected. And they feel that that's where they are this year.
Well, yeah, one of the things Dante Manning said, and again, I only spoke to people that are, I think, 19 and younger, like both all true freshmen, summer 2021. And what Dante was saying was that one of the things that excited him most about the team is everyone just had the same goals.
Yeah.
Not that last year's team didn't have the same goals, but I think it was hard to maybe get together to like talk about those things, establish that, to have all the things you're talking about before. Another example, Jay Butterfield, I was asking just like, what was it like, you know, coming onto campus? He said, I'm kind of a shy person. It was really hard for me to build friendships because of some of the COVID protocols of like, I can't really be close to people that like, he's not naturally someone who maybe, you know, he draws everybody in with his personality, so it was kind of hard for him to kind of get to know people. And he says that's really improved and changed. Everyone's opened up now that things have shifted a little bit there. But like, I think on the person-to-person level, maybe we overlook that. I'm sure we do in terms of analyzing the team and its, you know, successes on Saturdays. A lot of these people were, I think, dealing with the challenges of just not getting to know each other. And that's hard on a football team, like Verone said.
I think everyone to a point said Anthony Brown. I mean, this isn't breaking news, but everyone to a point said Anthony Brown's the guy, right?
Like, I mean,
Cristobal confirmed it too.
And I'll say the story of DuckTerritory.com, Jay Butterfield said something to the effect of like, we're all here competing to be his backup and be ready when he has his helmet come off, like something like that. And that's not to say that they all have the same kind of like,
they want to play.
They want to play, but I think there's a pretty realistic understanding here, or at least they have a pretty pragmatic perspective, I guess, on the reality that Brown's going to be the day one guy. I think that's pretty clear. More clear than I think we even maybe thought based on what Mario would say.
Right. And I think everything I spoke with older players, I don't know if it was the same case for you guys.
Sure.
With younger, was he's done a really good job of running the player-run practices this summer. A lot of the older players talked about just his organizational skills of making sure everyone's on time, making sure everyone's doing this. They're doing that. George Moore said he took total command of the offense and the team entirely, but even more so with the offensive unit, of just making sure everyone knew what they were doing. He mentioned how he'd pull the younger quarterbacks off to the side when another one is doing something and coach them at the same time while the younger one's running the offense or whatnot. So it sounds like, I mean, we already knew Anthony Brown was the number one guy, but it really sounds like everyone on the team kind of like knows he's the guy.
Yeah, no, I'd agree 100%. I mean, you saw even the coaching aspect of it at Saturday Night Live. You know, he would go through and, you know, see what guys he likes or just try to help anybody, any quarterback out there. And, you know, he's clearly an unselfish person, someone who just wants to, has a natural leadership value. And, you know, it's pretty evident. You know, both of the wide receivers, Dante Thornton and Troy Franklin, they had, you know, high things to say about Anthony Brown, and just not only in his play, but just his natural leadership, as Matt was just saying.
Well, okay, just to frame this a little bit, do we now, okay, because we've talked in the offseason a lot about how it felt like there was like a real competition here. Like, are we coming to the terms that like we expect Brown to be quarterback number one on day one, and then also when the season concludes, or are we still kind of thinking one of these younger guys could take it over eventually?
I don't know. I think the silence speaks the volumes right there.
I kind of feel like it's his job, and unless he really performs poorly, it's going to be his job the duration.
That's how I feel. I feel like as long as Oregon's – he doesn't even have to play well, I don't think. As long as Oregon's winning.
Yeah, I don't
– yeah. Yeah, the winning is the correlation.
Mm-hmm. Like, as long as Oregon's winning football games, it's – he's the guy. Once – Oregon loses the ability to reach a couple of their goals, meaning win the North And if you can't win the North, you can't win Pac-12. I guess maybe you can, as Oregon proved in 2020.
Wow. Good, good retort to your own comment. Very well done.
But I think as long as like your goals are still in reach,
right,
he's probably your guy. Once that becomes no longer the case, very similar to what happened in 2016, and not that I don't think...
I don't expect that to happen.
I don't think that type of a year to happen, but we saw that. Like, once Oregon kind of... It was like, okay, we're not going to win the North, and we're not going to then get to the Pac-12 championship game. Dakota Prukop, sorry, you're no longer starting quarterback. Justin Herbert, here you go. Mm-hmm. It's almost like that kind of expectation. Like, and maybe not even, it might not even be enough then. Like, if they finish 8-4, I could still see Anthony Brown being the starting quarterback. It'd have to really come off the rails.
I know, I was just going to say, like, yeah, it feels like if the team is as good as everyone seems to think they are, that Brown's just going to be the guy all year.
Yeah.
I feel more confident of that than I definitely did during the offseason.
Well, if they're the team that they think they are, they're going probably to the playoff.
Like, that was the, I mean,
from the quotes, absolutely.
Dante Manning straight up told me they were winning the Natty this year, and I said, "Now? We're going to win the Natty." I said, "Now?" And he said, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay, cool. That's excited to hear people." I mean, do I think that's pretty optimistic? I think he's like, that's something I'll say. I think Dante Manning's a very optimistic person. But I love the fact that's how they're thinking right now. I mean, I think that's how you should be thinking at a program like this, that every year is to win the championship and you know, and then deal with what happens if that's not the case. But hey, like those kind of things being said, I think those are significant during camp, because you can very easily be on the opposite side where it's, gosh, I hope we can win a couple games.
Yeah, oh, 100%. But it's clear that this team knows the talent they have.
Yeah, I think that's it out too.
And I mean, I think Cristobal is also going to hammer that home that, like, hey, if you're a veteran player, it doesn't mean, you know, and you're a 2-year starter, it doesn't mean you can just, you know, coast during summer, mm-hmm, and show up in fall camp and not have to worry about fighting for your job. Like he mentioned, the young guys are going to get their chance and they're going to play and they'll have their opportunity. And I took that as like, we're confident in our veteran guys, but we're also letting you guys all know, just because you're a veteran doesn't mean you're an automatic player and doesn't mean you automatically are going to see the playing time. The young guys, there might be one or two young guys that come up and snatch starter snaps, snatch a key backup role away.
And take starting snaps from guys that we don't even think are susceptible to it.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. So I think that's probably in play here. Shifting gears just a little bit, we did get some feedback on injuries, and I think for the most part, we're almost looking at a program that's all the way back.
Yeah, I was surprised a little bit with some of that, because usually this time of year going into fall, you've got guys with residual injuries from the offseason or from spring, or, you know, and in the case of Sean Dollars, somebody who will not be able to start the camp, at least full participant. Which, by the way, gosh, if he's able to be a participant at all during camp, that's better than I think we expected even last week when Mario spoke to media last. But yeah, his perspective was basically outside of Dollars, Trey Benson, Cam McCormick, and Jalen Smith, everyone mm-hmm. is going to be a day one full participant when fall practice starts on Friday, which, by the way, we should say, I don't even think we've said that on the podcast yet.
Practice.
First day of practice, Friday. There you go. There's that information. I think we'd kind of heard this was the case for a while, but the school hadn't announced it until today, so... But yeah, so those guys are the players that are potentially, before I mentioned a second ago. Go ahead.
Was there any bit of caution? Like, I heard him say, like, yeah, all these guys are good to go and da, 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 da. But I'm fully expecting us to show up day one,
yep,
day two, day three. Mm-hmm. And the list of guys that are on the rehab group that don't go
through. Oh, it's going to be more than four.
Yeah, it's going to be like 8 or 9.
It always is. And then the one that's just like kind of interesting is the Cam McCormick one, because I think I would have been just as prepared to write a story that he'd medically retired today as I was to write a story about how he's still working towards playing.
And Cristobal kind of acknowledged, like,
I appreciated his answer.
He's like, I understand everyone, you know, wants to know about it and probably is sick and tired of it, but he's progressing. Like, yeah. I'm kind of paraphrasing there.
Oh, but I can read it. I got it here. Everyone always asks about Cam McCormick. He's done great. We see him progressing really well. I'm just really proud of that guy. I know we've talked about this for a couple of years and it hasn't worked out, but there's a lot of momentum there and a lot of positive ground being made towards returning to play. So we'll see. And this is year three where he's, or is it year four? This is his fourth year where he's entered.
I think it's year four, yeah. Well,
I mean, it's kind of weird how
year three how where he's entering the season, but year four being
potentially
injured.
Not playing. Yeah, because he missed all of, that's right. He missed all of 18, 19, and 20. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if he comes back. Talented guy in a position group that I think could use some veteran leadership, to be honest. But I don't know. I'm still going to be, I'm kind of in the, I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing with Cam.
Yeah, I hope it works out.
At least being a contributor.
100%. Right.
I hope we see him. I'd love to see him on the field. I was really excited last fall for, I think it was the UCLA game when he dressed and we thought he was going to play. I thought that was really exciting, but it never worked out. He didn't play at all last season.
Being a contributor is going to be hard in that group, though.
I agree.
And we had Cristobal mentioned that Patrick Herbert gained 25 pounds of muscle. So
yeah. Well, and then he also mentioned the other freshmen.
The other freshmen were 250s in the 260s. That's Maliki Matavaho and then Terrence Ferguson.
Good job on Matavaho.
I appreciate
that.
So much better
than your Javon Johnson Thibodeau the other day.
We don't have to talk about that. Then he mentioned DJ Johnson.
The Moonweight.
In the 270s in Moonweight.
But that's Moonweight.
So he might be a little bit more than that, but that's just kind of his frame.
We should note we
wore it well last year.
We have rosters without weights, and a lot of people on Duck Territory asking like why there aren't weights. We don't know. I'm gonna guess Friday when we get the full rosters, we'll have weights.
Yeah, the team hasn't fully finished doing their. They're all here, but the way I was explained was that guys are still going through the onboard process, so
sure,
they're getting their weight done, their body mass done, and that all takes time. It's not like mm-hmm. you can rotate 120 guys through, the training staff and give a full body workup that they do, because it's a lot different now in football than it was 40 years ago. They have heart rate monitors, they've got GPS monitors for how far they're tracking. They have each player specifically has like a nutrition plan that's programmed for them to have after every meal or after every workout. So, it's clearly not just, how hard is it to step on a scale and write a number down and go next? Like, each player is probably 15 or 20, 30 minutes long of a checkup, and you times that by 120 players or so. That's going to add up. So I was told weights aren't listed because about half the team has finished that. The other half hasn't, and they will have that hopefully done by the end of fall camp, or by the end of this week, and hopefully we'll get updates there, where I know a lot of people kind of obsess over that.
We usually get rosters handed to us day one of fall camp. So mm-hmm.
It feels like almost daily.
Well, we usually get the first one in our hands day one. That's usually the updated one. So I'm targeting Friday as a day when we have that. And when we do, we'll post a story looking at the changes to the heights and weights. Because I know everybody does love seeing the weight gains, weight losses, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's end the show with just kind of our overwhelming themes of what we took away from this. We'll start with you, Eric.
I get
put you on the spot.
Thanks, guys. My overwhelming thing, I told the guys beforehand that I was just going to think of something on the fly, so here's me buying time so that I can think of something on the fly. No, I really think the thing that stood out to me the most was just the three quarterbacks that I spoke to. And again, I'm going to have in-depth interviews. I spoke with each for 10 to 12 minutes. We'll have a lot of content on the site in the next couple of days about those interviews. But I just think, look, you go in. Oh, here's a note that's not like the biggest thing I took away. Robbie Ashford is not done playing baseball.
Really?
Oh, he's not.
No, the only reason he didn't finish the season was because two of his roommates got COVID back to back, and so he was in the COVID protocol for the last month and a half of the season. He says, or month of the season, and he got
that's
back.
Interesting.
The day he was available was their last game, and he hadn't practiced in however long, and so he's going to continue playing baseball. So there's a little note on Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, that's
I just dawned on me that I hadn't told you guys that. So now I'm telling the podcast listeners as well. so that'll be called this right. No, but I mean, I think the thing that just stood out to me was it was again like you could very easily see three kids with this high of recruiting rankings as Robbie Ashford, as Ty Thompson, and as Jay Butterfield. High school, as talented as these kids were as high school athletes, as high and grandiose as their goals as quarterbacks at this level. You could see them being me first players, as being ego, egomaniacs, as whatever you want to say that would be negative. And I just get a sense, and again, actions say more than words, and we have to see over the course of a season if this is actually accurate. But every single one of them said the same thing, which is like, no, those are my guys. I really like those guys. Those are my good friends. I respect them as athletes. They both, or all of them, I actually just raved about the other players as quarterbacks and what they brought to the table. And I'll have some good kind of analysis of kind of what each of the quarterbacks, how they see the other one. But I just was really encouraged about, hey, there's this potential for this room to be kind of a mess because you have these teenagers that really all want to be a star quarterback. And this could go south, but I was just impressed with the character, I think, of all three of those guys. And whichever one ends up being the long-term guy, and maybe all of them stick around for a while and you take turns, and if, you know, one of them goes pro and the other one gets an opportunity afterwards, I just think you're going to have someone leading this program that's a really high-character player as well as a really good quarterback too.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, everybody I spoke to today, they were also all freshmen, but they all had their own high characters. And yeah, I thought that was a big trend with this Oregon program, is everybody who's in it is a high character person. But I would say the biggest takeaway I had is just everybody's answers towards how talented the team is.
Yeah.
I kind of asked an open-ended question of, you know, from the last, you know, the 2021 class or the 2020 class, you know, who's someone who's going to excite people or maybe come out of the blue. And from the four individuals that I interviewed today, they all had a different answer. And so I thought that was really interesting, because I thought it would just be, you know, a Noah Sewell or a Justin Flo or something like that, where everybody had the same one, but we got a different perspective on basically everyone. And so, yeah, this team, I would imagine, knows how talented they are, and they act on it. And this training camp is going to be a huge tell on where they're going to be and how talented or how much that talent actually matters to them.
I think for me, it's two part. One, kind of like what Jared said, the depth and talent of this team, and the impact that they have a full off season,
mm-hmm.
of a spring football, a spring game, a true full run through the fourth quarter program, which is a training program if you're unfamiliar with that, a true off season of summer workouts that are player run, and going over things. Guys talked about how this year they had, you know, the ability to sit down with the coaches in person and go over film and get instant feedback instead of doing it on Zoom. And a quote that really stood out, and I'm paraphrasing it here because I don't have the transcription done, but Mario Cristobal basically said, like, year two of the Joe Moorhead offense will be significantly different, because mm-hmm. he said Moorhead was cut short last year because of what he could do because of COVID and all the restrictions that came with it, and the lack of a training camp and the lack of spring football. And so you take that into account, and it truly sounds like what we – I mean, I'll speak for myself, but I think you both would agree that we were pretty impressed with
mm-hmm.
The variety of plays that the offense had, and – you know, the, I guess, air quote, trickery, and, you know, the motions, yeah. and all the window dressing it had. And yet you talk to the people inside the program and they feel like that wasn't even close to what a normal offense would look like under Joe Moorhead. So I'm really curious to see, like, what does a team with all five starters back along the offensive line? You've got two of your three primary starters back at receiver, or all three receivers back.
Yeah, they're all back.
All back at receiver. You only lose your tight end and mm-hmm. your quarterback, but the guy that's probably going to be the starting quarterback throughout the entire year was in the system last year.
And the tight end will be someone who's in the system last year too.
Right. So, like, to see the jump that they could take, knowing that last year we were pretty impressed, and it put up decent numbers the first half or so of the year before Tyler Shuck lost his confidence, really makes me, like, kind of really excited to see what this potential could be mm-hmm. for this unit.
Yeah, Jay Butterfield said the exact thing you're talking about. He said, I think the fans have only seen a fraction of what this is going to look like. He's talking about the offense. And I agree. I'm honestly just really excited to go out and watch practice and see what this looks like, to be totally frank.
That's the next step here on the podcast. We will be back probably after our Friday practice. We don't really know a time yet, but the anticipation is we're going to get into practice and we're going to get to watch. And all three of us will be there at that practice. We'll have full recap on DuckTerritory.com. And you can be rest assured we'll have full coverage of it on here as well on the podcast. won't be nearly as in-depth. So if you want even more in-depth coverage, I highly suggest you guys go subscribe to duckterritory.com. That's the easiest way to support this podcast and to keep it running on the basis that it is. And we're in that dog days of summer now where we're going to be doing coverage on duckterritory.com about something Oregon football every day, multiple times a day. Fall camp is here. And before you know it, Oregon will be playing Fresno State week one of the 2021 football season from Autzen Stadium. So hopefully you guys are here for the ride for that. And you have been listening to the latest edition of the Autzen Audibles podcast.
Talk to you later, folks.
Peace.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.